When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and it is a Friday. It's championship game weekend.
Yeah.
Friday here in Pittsburgh. Of course, the Steelers not taking part in that this year, but we did hear from team president Art Rooney II on Thursday. I was there, and so was our guest, Bob Labriola, editor of Steelers Digest, Steelers.com, and team historian. Did I get all the titles in there, Bob? Is that...
I have something I can throw in there.
Grand Poobah. How about that?
Yeah. And I'm chief water carrier for the drive today.
There you go. Oh, okay. There you go. Bob, Art had a lot to say yesterday, as he typically does. At his season-ending press conference, but much of the focus of the questions was regarding the team's offense and where the direction that it's heading in 2023, and he sounded pretty optimistic about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a lot of these, and you know what I have come to learn is that you know Art Rooney II is not going to really. Be really definitive or aggressive or, you know, any of those kinds of things in this season-ending press conference. I mean, he will, you know, he'll answer some questions, you know, lay out some things. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of definitive statements made, ultimatums given, direction revealed in terms of specifics. In my opinion, it was somewhat of a typical season-ending thing. I also think, though, that in addition to expressing some optimism, you know, about how the season turned out after the way it started, you know, there were some subtle I will call them Art Rooney-ish kind of demands revealed. And, you know, the one that, you know, sticks in my mind is, I think it was Mike Pursuta who asked the question, something about, usually you kind of chart the course at this session. Do you have anything in mind for that this coming season? And he said, score more points.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, that's to me the same thing as when he said one year, we need to change the way that Ben plays a little bit to lengthen his career. Another time he said, you know, we need to be able to run the ball better. We need to fortify the back end of our defense. That was the offseason before the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade. So, you know, there's little things like that that are kind of dropped in there. So, yeah, I think that there's a little bit for everyone. I mean, if you want to come out of it thinking that, you know, Art was extremely optimistic about the future based on the second half of the season, sure, you can, there's enough for that. But, you know, I look at it in its totality. And he dropped a couple of things in there that, in my mind, those are things that, without saying, without making an ultimatum, if they don't happen, it'll be a totally different conversation one calendar year from today.
Oh, absolutely. The one time that he did make a statement that was pretty straightforward was when I asked him about the potential for neutral site conference championship games, and he said, "I hate it."
That was another one.
I hate it.
Right. Hate it. Yes.
Hate it. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, and you know, and then he followed it up with, which, you know, to me was significant too. I don't think it could pass a vote now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's maybe because one of the most foolish ideas I've heard.
Well, but you know, there's a lot of things. You know, Art's dad once told me, you know, when the question is ever why, the answer is money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've read some things about how the league could monetize these neutral site playoff or neutral site championship games. You know, that they'll do what the NCAA did with the bowl games. You know, it'll become the pool on weed eater NFC championship game.
Well, there's nothing stopping them from doing those kind of things now. Well, other than the fact that they don't know where the game's going to be held at.
Well, but the you know, there may be some other you know, ties, you know, and would a sponsor want to pay the big money if it's in
Green Bay?
You know, because right. If it's Buffalo, it's Highmark Stadium.
Right, right.
So it can't be the pool and weed eater AFC championship game because you have to say it's at Highmark Stadium, and that's their. You know, that's their thing. So I'm not saying they couldn't do it. I just don't think it's a company, a business would be willing to pay as much money if they're sharing that kind of top billing, so to speak, with another company or more. So you could do that. And the other thing I heard was they could turn it into kind of like the tickets, they could take over the tickets and kind of do like they do with the Super Bowl. You could say, go to a company, and I'm just picking somebody out of the, you know, I'm sitting here pretending I'm Dale Lawley.
You could go to
Diet Coke here. I got my Diet Coke here. So you can go to you can go to Coca-Cola and say, okay, we're going to, if you want to do this deal with us, marketing deal, in the future, we will give you, as part of what we're going to give you in return for the money that you're going to give us, we're going to give you a block of tickets between the 40-yard lines.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things.
No, definitely the financial advantages. But
oh, yeah.
But trying to get the cities that will never get an opportunity to host those games, you mentioned Buffalo, Pittsburgh,
Green Bay,
Cleveland, Seattle, Green Bay. They're not going to give those cities, those cold weather cities, presumably an opportunity to host those games. There's no reason other than pure financials to vote for that. And if you're Pittsburgh or Green Bay or, you know, one of the New England places that regularly host AFC championships or NFC championships, you're not going to give up that, right?
No.
Oh, I agree with you. But I'm saying that there are enough others. I mean, there's 32. I'm sure
Atlanta would be all for it. Dallas would be all for it because they're going to get the opportunity to host it. Whereas the cities that have no chance, you're not getting my vote on that. Why would I give up the chance? I mean, you and I have covered enough conference championship games over the years, Bob, to know exactly what those mean to the city, to the fans, to the franchise. That why would you give that up?
I don't want a corporate.
Well, again, I'm not predicting that.
No, I know. Yeah, right.
I'm just saying how they could try to sell it to ownership. And, you know, you start dangling that money out there, don't tell me there's not going to be people.
Oh, there'd definitely be some. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But getting those other teams to follow along with, because you need 24 votes, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In terms of Art Rooney's explanation on why, when he was asked about Matt Canada, why he was brought back, and he mentioned, you know, the team obviously playing better down the stretch, and then he mentioned the continuity and the relationship with Kenny Pickett. How important do you believe that part of that was?
I think it was a factor. I don't know how much of a factor, but I don't want to say that it's meaningless because I don't really know enough about, you know, what goes into learning an offense, what the changing of an offense would do to not only the quarterback, but, you know, the other players, because I don't think, you know, Kenny Pickett, he doesn't come across to me as a guy that would have trouble learning.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. But there's more than him.
Right. I
mean, there's a lot of other guys, too, that have to, you know, learn. And, you know, the offensive linemen are young.
Offensive.
I remember talking to Max Starks. This was last year. And he was explaining to me, you know, this was when, the Matt Canada offense, quote-unquote, with the motion. And one of the things that Max Starks pointed out to me, which I had no idea, he said that every time the motion man crosses the center, the blocking assignments change. So if it's one of those plays where, you know, the guy comes across and turns around and goes back, that's two different, blocking assignments or blocking, you know, whatever the calls have to be for the offensive lineman.
Yeah, right.
Right, adjustments. And then, okay, so that's just one thing. That's assuming the defense doesn't move. What if they start moving? Now right. You got guys, you know, who am I blocking now? And so, you know, if you go to something new, how does that impact those guys? I mean, those guys now are starting to look like a competent unit. I mean, I'm not saying that offensive line is a finished product or any of that stuff, but, you know, I do think that it's pretty inarguable that the unit was a lot better at the end of the year than it was at the beginning of the year, even at the bye. So, you know, there's something there that I think you want to continue to nurture as well. So, you know, again, I don't know enough about what the Matt Canada offense even is to know what the positives of it are, what the negatives of it could be if you're changing it. But again, I don't think it matters because let's go back to the first one, score more points.
Right, right.
Because if they don't score more points, it's not going to matter. Because a year from now, the conversation is going to be totally different. And if anyone, including Matt Canada, believes that they could go, the Steelers president is willing to go through another season where one time out of 17 games, the offense scores three touchdowns in a game. He's delusional. They're delusional. That's just not, I mean, it's not, it's not going to happen. So, you know, this is, I don't know. I don't know how to, again, I'm trying not to, but this isn't, it's not like a lifetime mandate that,
right. Matt it's a bottom line not, business. I mean, it really is.
Right. He's not a federal judge, which means, you know, he has a job as long as he wants it or until he dies. So, you know, this is a, as Jerry Glanville says, you know, NFL stands for not for long. And so everybody's got to produce now moving forward. And if they don't, there will be consequences.
Labs, even this year, could you see a senior offensive assistant or passing game coordinator or whatever the heck you want to call it from outside the organization being added to the staff?
I think it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think there are going to be some things that have to fall in the right way.
Yeah, there's a bunch of offensive coordinator jobs open right now.
Well, and you know, let's remember that there was no plan to bring in Brian Flores.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that happened. That was happenstance. Right. And so I think it's going to have to be something similar. And whoever it is going to have to be, you know, a Brian Flores type. And I don't mean, you know, a guy completely overqualified for the job that you're offering him, but also someone, A, who is willing to accept it, wants to fit in, and that they believe will be a good fit and can help. And if those things, you know, fall into place, I think it's a possibility, because this is my own opinion. I don't think Brian Flores is going to be back next year. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get a head coaching job. I really do. There's, you know, again, it worked out pretty good last year. I think they're willing to do it again. Again, if it's, you know, you don't want to hire, or you don't want to hire the LeGarrette Blount kind of coach. You know what I mean?
Right. No, you don't want somebody coming in and just using it as a one-year stepping stone.
Guy, yeah.
Or trying to use it to better, you know,
get his next
further
job.
His own brand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. No, I hear you on that one for sure. In terms of what do you think will qualify as tangible, you know, production increases, is it based strictly on the points or is it about wins as well? Or both?
Or quarterback development,
quarterback development, things of that nature.
I think all that's tied in. I mean, I don't think that you can have a season that ends with what would be perceived as good to significant development of the quarterback and score like you were scoring this year.
Right. I mean, you can run the ball for 3,000 yards though next year, and you know the quarterback doesn't really progress.
I mean, that's not real. It's not. They're not going to run for 3,000.
Well,
they're not going to do
that. Let's say 2,500.
That's not going to happen either.
Well, I mean, they average 146 over 9 games this year. I'm no mathematician, but if they do that over the course of 17 games, you're looking at 2,500 yards.
Score more points.
But that's you know, score more points. He also mentioned the red zone offense.
He did, yes.
Okay. So if they run for 2,500 yards or whatever you were saying, and they're 29th in the league in red zone offense, they're still not scoring touchdowns. And again, I don't think that that's going to be good enough. I just don't.
By the same token, if they win 11 or 12 games playing that way, they take their red paint and they paint the barn red.
I don't think you can. You know, the Steelers aren't that kind of a team. You know, I just don't see with the defense that they have. Now let's look at that unit too. I mean, you think that unit is going to be holding teams where you can be 28th or 29th in the league in scoring and win 12 or 13 games? I don't.
This is not how the league works. I mean, the successful teams are the ones that score points.
Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of what you're going to need for your defense next year is an offense – that doesn't make it that gives the defense a little bit of more of a margin for error. I mean, you can't be playing games where, you know, a field goal and you lose. You know, giving up 7 or 10 points in the second half and you're done. I think that creating these scenarios you're just creating scenarios. I just don't think it's real. And so at the end of it, at the end of this, I think that the offense is going to have to improve. The quarterback's going to have to develop more, and it's going to have to score more points for the team to be successful enough to get into the playoffs.
So just looking at the offensive players, it's rare in an offseason for any team to have basically bring back the entire group. I mean, there's nobody hitting free agency of major consequence. All these guys are young. That, of course, is by design. What more do you need to add to that, if it's up to you?
Well, I think, you know, there are places you just need to get better.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the development of the offensive line and how it evolved and everything, but it's not a finished product.
Zero snaps to injury, too. I mean, they didn't have to test the depth.
Yeah, and how real is that for 2 years in mm-hmm. a row? So, you know, that group has to get better. I don't know that the receivers are good enough just to say we're going to stand pat with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
I think the running backs are a nice you have your 1-2 punch, and that's a nice little situation you have there. But if, you know, Zach Gentry leaves, that's your end of the line blocker right there. I don't know that, you know, Connor Hayward's a nice player and everything, but I don't think a guy of his size, you can put him on the end like that and say, block Calais Campbell. Maybe it happens every now and then. But I don't think you can get away with that on a regular, you know, as a part of a regular diet. So whether or not right now there are obvious changes in personnel, either visible or clear or not, again, there's nothing about the Steelers roster where I'm looking at that saying, okay, you don't have to worry about this position. They're good to go here.
No, I hear you on that, Bob. I'm just throwing stuff out there to find out your opinion on these things. So,
well, I understand. And this is the time to do this.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, I just what fans sometimes, and some people in the media, you know, they get too enamored with looking at this maybe as a video game, because, you know, like Matt said about the availability of all the offensive linemen through 17 games.
Yeah, it's not
going to
happen again.
Right. It's just not real. They were extremely lucky that it happened this time.
Yeah, I believe all the linemen played at least 96% of the snaps. That's
right.
Almost unheard of.
Three of them didn't
miss
a snap.
Right, and while, you know, you can look at the two tackles and say, okay, you know, there are some good things about both Dan Moore Jr. and Chukwuma Okorafor, but, I mean, seriously, they're just guys right now. I don't think there's an offensive lineman on that first five who would be described by scouts as something more than just a guy. I mean, none of them are, in my opinion, threats to make the Pro Bowl, let alone all pro. I mean, that to me is just would be a ridiculous bar to expect them to clear. And I don't know that you can have a group if you want to contend for a championship. I don't know that you can have a starting offensive line where none of them are threats to make the Pro Bowl or all pro, unless you have a defense like the 2008 Steelers and set an NFL or tie an NFL record by holding the first 13 or 14 teams on your schedule to fewer than 300 total yards of offense. And again, I don't think that this group has that in it. And the way the game is officiated and legislated now, I don't think you can expect a defense to be that kind of dominant.
But then you get the quarterback saying, "Who's laughing now, offensive line?" That's it.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, but, I mean, anybody who thinks, you know, and that's the thing about that Super Bowl, too, was, you know, everybody remembers that last drive. You know, my recollection is the Steelers were 1-for-4 in the red zone, I think 1-for-3 in goal-to-go situations.
Yeah.
That was not one of Bruce Arians' greatest moments. I'll tell you that. I mean, he gets a lot of credit for that.
Turned out right. But yeah.
James Harrison scored 7 of those points.
Exactly.
You could subscribe to the Mike Tomlin Game Day podcast during the season, and you want to do that because you get to hear the guy we're talking to, Bob Labriola, talk to head coach Mike Tomlin about each upcoming game. Of course, we won't have one of those for a while, but new episodes do drop on every game day. Bob, I know you have a lot of fun doing those. They're very well listened to, and they're all available on the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. And Bob does a great job of quizzing Mike Tomlin, not just about the upcoming opponent, but about things that are going on around the league as well. And I think Mike's very candid with you in a lot of those situations.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I wanted to point up. Thank you for the very kind words, but I mean, it's called the Mike Tomlin Show for a reason. No, I mean, seriously, he is extremely open, candid, and willing to expound on a lot of things that, you know, otherwise he might not be interested in addressing in a large press conference kind of situation. And I learn a lot too, to be quite honest. There are things that I ask him, rules, those kind of things, some history that he is able to, you know, put into perspective or explain that, just helps me when I'm watching the games or to understand the sport.
Well, that's why that's a must listen on every game day. So check that out. When we get around to next season, we're going to let Bob go here. Matt and I are going to take a break as well. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. You're listening to The Drive. Our guest has been Bob Labriola, editor of Steelers Digest, Steelers.com, and team historian and grand poobah of all things Steelers. We do appreciate your time, Bob. I'll talk to you soon.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
We'll
be back with more on The Drive right after this.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.